Our study in God's Word this morning will be in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 25. Return to that book that we were studying at the end of last year. During the Advent season, we thought about the second Advent, working our way through chapter 24. This morning we'll begin to look at chapter 25. Matthew 25, and I want to read the first 30 verses of this chapter. Jesus is speaking. This continues from what he was teaching in chapter 24. Verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' And all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, let's ask God to guide us as we study his word this morning. Father, we do pray that your name would be hallowed, your kingdom would come, your will be done. We do pray that you would strengthen your church and add to it, that you would destroy the devil's work, that you would destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word, and in this way that you would set your people free. Help us today with the gift of your Holy Spirit. Guide us that we might truly understand what Jesus is saying here. And we pray this in his name. Amen. It's possible for bad things to happen by just doing nothing. Just let your wife's birthday come and go and do nothing. And you'll see what I mean. Or think about preventive maintenance in your car, changing the oil. Do nothing, and eventually something bad will happen. A maintenance crew did nothing about changing an oil filter on a 763-foot freighter that would travel up and down the Mississippi River. And so on December the 14th, 1996, the oil filter became clogged and the engine shut down. And they were going around a sharp bend near New Orleans, and without power, the captain lost control. The ship slammed into a wharf that was the home to 200 shops and restaurants. 116 shoppers were injured. All because someone did nothing about changing an oil filter. It's possible for bad things to happen by just doing nothing. Jesus is telling two parables that we've read this morning about what can happen if you do nothing. Five foolish young ladies did nothing to prepare for a wedding celebration, and they missed the festivities. One man did nothing with the resources that were given to him, and he lost his job. In both of these parables, Jesus talks about a long time. Notice verse 5. As the bridegroom was delayed, and then in verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came. Both of these parables are being told in light of a question that the disciples asked. We find that question at the beginning of chapter 24. Jesus left the temple. He was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And so these parables that we've read this morning are being told in light of this question that's in the disciples' minds as to when's the world going to end? When are you coming back? When is all of this going to happen? And so Jesus is telling these parables in some sense to answer that question. And Jesus answers that in some sense his coming was near. It was very near. Chapter 24, verse 32, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things that he's just described, you know that he is near at the very gates. Jesus obviously wants you and me to think of his coming as something that is near. But even in chapter 24, he'd given a hint that it may take a long time. Again, chapter 24, verse 6, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." Verse 8, "All these are but the beginning of birth pains." Verse 13, "The one who endures to the end will be saved." And Jesus warned his followers, as he does here in chapter 25, to watch. Verse 42, "Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Putting these things together, we're given this picture of how we're supposed to live today. Live every day with that expectation that the coming of Jesus is near, very near. It could happen at any moment. But also be prepared for the long haul. It's a tension, isn't it? I mean, to think that he's coming could be at any moment, and yet we need to be prepared for the long haul. We need to be faithful. We need to be diligent. We need to be responsible with what God has given us. Five foolish girls did nothing to prepare for a long time, and they were shut out. One man did nothing, even though he was given a long time to work, and he was cast out. It's possible for bad things to happen by just doing nothing. Now, this morning, we'll just look at this first parable about the 10 virgins. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took a flask of oil with their lamps." The storyline of this parable might be a bit strange for us, but this is something that would be very familiar for Jesus' audience. This is the way weddings happened. Like today, weddings are happy occasions. Like today, you invite people to come and to celebrate with you. Unlike today, the happy couple didn't go off on a honeymoon to be by themselves. What they did was invite everybody to come to their new home, and they had a party. They celebrated. The word virgin in this translation makes the story seem a bit stranger to us. But these are just lady friends. They're just girlfriends of the happy couple, and so they're here to celebrate the wedding. They may even be bridesmaids or something like that, but these are just young ladies who are friends of the happy couple. All 10 of them have been called and invited to come and celebrate. 5 of them have probably done this before, and so they have gained some wisdom. They know what's going to happen. They know what to expect. They may know that this is going to go on for a long time. We got to wait for the photographer and get all those pictures made. So it may be a long time before we get to go into the reception. The other 5, they don't have a clue. They're thinking, here we are, we're going to, you know, we'll wait a little bit, but then we're all going to go in and we're going to get to eat. And so they have not prepared for a long wait. Verse 5, "As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." The five girls who were prepared are not being mean to the other five girls. This is not a story about sharing. The point of this story is that there are five who are called wise, and they're obviously thinking clearly. They're prepared for a long wait. They've thought ahead about what needs to be done. Verse 10, "And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Parenthetical comment. Notice that Jesus doesn't fault anyone for falling asleep. Verse 5, "As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept." Jesus knows that stuff happens in life. We all get tired. Things happen. Life is hard. We all have our limits. Jesus does not fault anybody because they fell asleep. The fault lies only with the five who did not prepare. Now, looking at this parable, the commentator William Barclay suggests two lessons that we can learn from this. First of all, he says there are certain things that we cannot get at the last minute. There are certain things that we cannot get at the last minute. Those of you that are students know that you can't just walk in and take an exam. You've tried it, right? I mean, it doesn't work. We've all tried that. You cannot cram for, you can't cram an entire semester of lectures and reading into the last minute and then walk in and expect to ace the exam. Do nothing now and you'll probably fail the exam. These five foolish girls tried to go out and buy oil at the last minute. It was midnight. And then they expected that the whole wedding party was going to wait on them until they got back. Well, they're not going to go in. They're all going to stand out there and wait for us. They did nothing to prepare, and they lost out. Don't put off to the last minute what needs to be done now. Don't put off thinking about God, sin, Jesus, the Bible, life and death, heaven and hell. Don't put all of that off to the last minute, thinking there will always be time. I'll deal with that later. I've got a lot on my plate right now. I'll think about that later. Remember that this parable is being told in the context of that question when the disciples asked, well, when are these things going to happen? When are you coming back? When's the end of the world going to be? And these two parables are immediately followed by Jesus' comments about final judgment. Verse 31, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne." And the whole chapter ends with Jesus pointing to two open doors. One that leads to eternal punishment and one that leads to eternal life. Verse 46, "There will be some will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Don't put off to the last minute to find out if you are one of the Lord's righteous ones. That's not the time to do it. Don't put off to the last minute to find out which door you will be passing through. Do nothing now, and you may not have that choice later. The second lesson is this. There are certain things that cannot be borrowed. There are certain things that cannot be borrowed. The five foolish girls found out the hard way that they could not borrow oil from the others. There was not enough to go around. You needed to have your own. It's an illustration of our relationship with God. It's got to be your own. Your right standing with God, the forgiveness of sins, being dressed in those righteous robes that the King himself provides, the experience of new life in Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, none of this can be borrowed. It's got to be your own. You can't live off the faith of somebody else, a parent, a husband, a wife, grandparent. It has to be your own. Our first pastor was Jerry Malkus, and he told us a story one time about going to visit somebody, and he presented the gospel to them, and in doing that, he asked that familiar question: if you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? And the man answered, "I think so. My grandfather was a Methodist minister." It's humorous, but then it's really sad, isn't it? Because there are people that think that because I've got an association, it's like borrowing somebody's Costco card or something. You know, I can get in because of some association that I have with somebody else. I can go to heaven because my grandfather was a minister, or you know, my wife goes to Sunday school every week. You know, I am going to get some credit because I am closely related to this person. Barclay is right. There are some things that cannot be borrowed from somebody else. It's got to be your own. Martin Luther said, "Just as you must do your own dying, you must do your own believing." Do nothing now, and you may find that you have nothing of your own when you're standing before the glorious throne of Christ. There are certain things that you cannot get at the last minute, and there are certain things that cannot be borrowed, but there is a certain thing that you and I can and must do now. Jesus doesn't hide it. It's the last verse of that parable, verse 13. He says, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Notice the little word, "therefore." Jesus tells this story to illustrate something. It's what we need. The whole story is being told to illustrate what it is that we need. There's a point to the story. Don't be like these foolish girls. Don't be unprepared. You know, don't get shut out because you did nothing. He plainly tells us what it is that we're to do. He says, "Watch." And from the context, from the story, it's very clear what it means to watch. On one hand, don't wait to the last minute. Do something now. Today is the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now, today. Don't set this off. Don't put it off. And then on the other hand, watch means don't try to borrow and live off something that's not yours. Make the gospel your own. Do your own believing. Engage Jesus with your own love, faith, and understanding. And then live in joyful anticipation of his coming. Go back up to verse 10. And while the five foolish virgins were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Those who were ready. It's possible to be ready. It's part of watching that Jesus says you can be ready. You know, those who made the good news their own, those who put their faith in Christ alone, those who put on the wedding garments that the king had provided, those who were prepared and waited patiently, those who were ready, went in with him to see Christ as he truly is in all of his resurrection glory, to be with him forever in his glorious kingdom. The 19th century Anglican bishop, J.C. Ryle, said, "They shall be with their Lord, with him who loved them and gave himself for them, with him who bore with them and carried them through their earthly pilgrimage." Those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast to enjoy the reception, the party. The formalities are over. The wedding is over. Now there's this feast. We get to go in and celebrate. And the door was shut. The shut door spells disappointment and disaster for the five foolish ladies, but the shut door also speaks of comfort and assurance for all who are wise. Depends on what side of the door you're on when it's shut. And again, J.C. Ryle points out the blessedness of being shut in with Jesus. He says, "The door shall be shut at last, shut on all pain and sorrow, shut on an ill-natured and wicked world, shut on a tempting devil, shut on all doubts and fears, shut to be opened no more." What joy, what safety, what security there is to be shut in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, watch. And Jesus plainly tells us why we're to watch. "For you know neither the day nor the hour." Maybe a long time, maybe a very long time, maybe soon, maybe very soon. Either way, you have no idea when. All you need to know is that he is coming, and all you need to do is be faithful. Beware of a do-nothing Christianity. Let's pray. Father, we confess how hard it is to keep things in balance. When we tend to think of your nearness, we tend to become sloppy with life and irresponsible, and we don't make good plans or plan ahead or think of the future. And then when we think about your coming being perhaps a long time off, we can grow very cold and careless and begin to even doubt that you will come. We pray that you would grant us that true discernment that enables us to rightly understand the emphasis that is in your word and how we can hold these seemingly contradictory ideas in our minds that your coming is so near and yet there may be a long time. Show us how to hold these together. We pray that you would sanctify this word to our hearts. And Father, I pray for any who here this morning may simply be putting these things off. Help them to understand and to see the necessity to resolve these questions and issues that are so important. And I pray for your people that though they may have assurance of their salvation and know that Christ has died for them, and yet they're living in such a way that they don't expect your return, or they have become so distracted with other things that they no longer think daily and depend upon you daily. We pray that you would sanctify us all. And Father, for those who are just drained and tired and discouraged and grieving, we pray that you would remind us by this simple, solitary picture of a shut door of that last day when your people will be shut in and will be separated from all that is painful. That we will be shut in with you for all eternity to enjoy your favorable presence. Sanctify this parable, this story, this word to our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.